Praise the Lord. I'm excited when you look around, and one of the things that we ought to be thankful for at our church is the fact that we're not trapped in one age bracket at our church. We have some folks who have been faithful for many, many years. We've got, just 50, 60, 70, 80 year old and more. They're just serving the Lord. We also have 20s, 30s, and 40s raising their kids, trying to do what's right. We've got college age, 10, 11, that just love the Lord and love serving Him. Got a youth group that the young people just love the Lord and want to serve Him. And I've got young children here that, bless your heart, they'll be singing. They love serving the Lord, singing about the Lord. And then we've got a whole nursery full of babies on the, coming in here. And that's just a wonderful thing. Amen. And so you don't take that for granted, because that's a blessing from God. And I praise the Lord for it. So if you take your Bibles with me quickly tonight, we're going to wrap up, Lord willing, little series. Didn't really mean it to be such a series, but turned out to be that way. But I believe God is in it. He's blessed every time, and expecting tonight as well. Philippians chapter number 4 tonight. Philippians chapter number 4. I told my grandpa and my uncle's church this morning that I wouldn't be moving around a whole lot. My family and I, we worked hard yesterday and putting the garden in, and I couldn't believe this morning I went to get up and I could barely move this morning, and my mind said time to get up, my flesh said you ain't moving. So I don't know what sounds I made getting up, but it was humorous. It was but I did get up, and I'm moving slow, but we are moving. I enjoyed it yet last night. Working, I had Hope. She had a little shovel in her hand digging some, and Grace did, and Alex, and they were planting, and we were digging, and my wife was taking pictures. About the most she'll do when it comes to dirt and that stuff. All right, she's by her admission, doesn't like dirt. But I'm thankful, because she was inside. She iron shirts and did all that other stuff. If I would have touched a shirt, it would have been bad for a year. So I'm thankful for that. Philippians chapter number 4. And they had a good... I told the church there this morning that you heard about the preacher, that he was a guest preacher and he showed up to this church he hadn't been at before. When he got there, there was hardly anyone there. He leaned over, sitting next to the pastor on the platform, and said, "There's hardly anybody here." And the pastor said, "Yeah, I know." He said, "Didn't you tell them I was coming?" He said, "No, I didn't tell them, but obviously the word got out." So, never mind. You might get it later, right? All right. Philippians chapter 4. Let's stand if you're able to. Let's read verse number 6. I'm glad I'm standing, because getting up, I'm not sure I'd be able to. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Father, I pray you take the message tonight. I pray you'd use it for your honor and glory. Father, as we've been looking at these reasons why we ought to praise your name, Father, I pray that you would help us this evening to wrap this up. And Father, we obviously could speak for many more reasons why we ought to praise you. Lord, this is where you've led us. And Lord, we have enough to go on right now. And Lord, I pray we'd honor and praise you in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Pray for a few folks I heard are sick. Again, I'm sure Brother Slee mentioned some. Miss Wanda Pringle, keep her in your prayers. Brother Bobby, also Miss Peters is sick. Just keep her in your prayers as well. The Phillips, keep them in your prayers. Keep my dad in your prayers. And a few others. Eduardo, I don't know if you mentioned Eduardo this morning. Pray for Brother Eduardo. His grandmother passed away, and he's in Mexico. He and his brother left, and Brother Eduardo said that they were going to give him an opportunity to speak at the funeral. So he asked me to ask the church to please pray for words that he could share to his loved ones. There's many that are lost, and just pray for the right words to say there. But pray for him if you would. Here in Philippians chapter number 4, we've been talking about why we ought to praise the Lord. This is our fifth message, and I believe we'll wrap things up tonight. But we've given so far 24 reasons why we ought to be praising the Lord. In the case you haven't got any of those, we'll give you tonight 10 more, all right? We're going to give, or 11, I guess, if I do my math, all right? 25 to 35 tonight. And again, as I said in the prayer, these aren't the 35 only reasons we ought to praise the Lord. We could talk for the next 10 years about why we ought to praise the Lord. But I'm just looking at what the Bible says and some things about praising the Lord. The more, as just as a review, not to go through these, but the more you praise Him, the more you realize that He loves you. The more you realize that He loves you, the more you will love Him. The more that you love Him, the more and the greater your life is here on this earth. Being in love with the Lord. We've talked about 24 reasons, number 25. We'll jump right into it. Here in this passage of Scripture, I look again at verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I give number 25 reason why we ought to praise the Lord based off this verse, that when we praise the Lord with thanksgiving, our prayers will be answered. You see in this passage of Scripture, be careful for nothing. You know what? We don't have to sit around and worry all the time. We don't have to sit around and be overcome by the things of the world. We don't have to sit there and fret whether God's going to take care of me or not. The more that you're thankful in your prayers with thanksgiving, the more that you, and I hope you've been doing this, when you pray, you take the time to thank the Lord for things. Not just bring out some request and say, all right, God, here's a list of stuff that I need. I need you to do number one, this, number two, this. I hope that your prayer life is more than that. You'll find the more that you praise the Lord, matter of fact, you'll find the less things you think you need. Because you become more content. None of us are born content. Do you understand that? We're born very covetous. Even Paul, the great apostle, he said, you know, I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul had to learn that lesson. If somebody like Paul had to learn that, how much more do we have to learn that? All right? We have to learn to be content. How do we learn to be content? By praising the Lord. Here in this passage it says, be careful for nothing. We don't have to sit here and fret and worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, again, here's the key, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We serve a God who answers prayer. We serve a God, folks, prayer is real. Prayer is such a privilege. We as Christians, it's probably the greatest thing, probably next to our salvation, that we take for granted is the privilege of prayer. I mean, do you realize who we're speaking to when we get to pray? Do you believe what an honor it is to be able to talk to an almighty God? I mean, that's amazing to me. I mean, I know that there are probably a lot of different mixed feelings about the President of the United States. Yet, if they said he would like to talk to you, you would sit there and say, me? Most of us would say, what'd I do? If he walked in this room, we would stand and give honor to him. You should. So I don't agree with him. I don't care. You honor and respect the leaders that God's put in your life, right? I don't agree with a lot of things either, but I respect the office. And he would walk in, and he would, if he were to, say some things and want to sit down next to you and speak, you'd listen. And you'd probably tell some people you got to talk to him. It would be an honor. I know a lot of you are like, not me. Well, you just need to start praying for him more, right? But in any case, all right, the fact is this, we get to talk to the God in heaven. Isn't that amazing? That God is so personal that He wants to speak to us. The more thankful we are, the more closer we'll be with God. You say, so the more that I'm thankful, God will just magic give me my prayers answered. Put all the teaching we've got together in the last few weeks. We pray in Jesus' name. You know what happens? The more that you see that God loves you, the more you're going to love God. The more that you love God, the closer you are to God. You know what you begin to pray like, the closer you are to God? You start praying like His Son. That's what John chapter 14 taught. That we'll ask anything in His name. What does in His name mean? I just prayed a minute ago, and someone else prayed minutes before me, and said, and you know, we closed our prayer in His name. Now, why is that? Because what the Lord is teaching that passage is when we're praying, we are praying according to what we know the will of the Lord Jesus is. Our request is His request. We can pray in His name in that way. If Brother Davis, you know, comes up tonight and starts praying for, I don't know, a brand new, I won't even pick a brand because half of you will look bad, all right? A brand new truck. Would you like a brand new truck, Brother Davis? All right. Yeah, all right. You know, and he has all of it. Mine, you know what I want? I can't pray for it because I just want it, all right? You know what I want? I want a Dodge Ram. Now, not a new one. I want an old one. Like around 92, 93, that you can just beat up and scratch. Isn't that great? You know, that you know, because I just love those, all right? The ones, you know, on the front of them, they kind of look like this. I love those trucks, all right? You know, it just got a mean look to them, you know, and that's what I've always wanted. Ask my wife. Oh, a silver with dark gray interior. That's just in my mind. If I could go out and get one, that's what I would get. But I don't pray that. I don't think I've ever prayed for that truck, all right? Because I know I'm asking to consume it upon my own lust, all right? I've never prayed for it, all right? Yet, I can go to the Lord and I can ask Him in great confidence, God, if there's a soul that's lost tonight, would You please save their soul tonight? In His name, amen. You know why I can pray that? Because I know that's what the Lord wants tonight. I can pray in His name that folks that are backslidden would get right with God tonight. I can pray that in His name because I know that's what He wants. I can pray tonight that God, would You please help me as a father to be what I need to be for my family, and in His name I pray. I can pray that because I know that's what God wants me to be. Are you following me? I can't pray that God give me that truck that I want, for I don't need the truck. There's not a need in my life for that truck. It would just be purely upon my own lust. I would not pray that in His name. I don't need it. But I can pray, God, would You please touch that soul? Would You, according to Your will, touch that person's physical body and heal it? I can pray those things. And the closer we are to God, the more we're going to see our prayers answered. Not because God is doing something special because we're doing that. What it is that we get the mind of God. And we begin to pray like God would want us to pray. Look over in Psalm 100 real quick for reason number 26 why we ought to praise the Lord. Psalm 100. You have your Bibles tonight? Amen? Amen. Psalm 100. Let's see, we're going by in a minute, taking inventory, who has a Bible and who doesn't. I'm kidding! All right, here we go. All right, I'm just kidding. All right, all of you guys need to chill out tonight. All right, Psalm 100. All right, Psalm 100. The bass seems a little tight. All right, Psalm 100, verse number 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Number 26 reason why we need to praise the Lord is because we get an audience with God. You see that in that passage? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Folks, the Lord, the Father, desires praise and worship from us as children. He desires that. He's looking for that from our lives. And according to this verse, as we bring this thanksgiving and we bring this praise to Him, we enter into His presence. Now, that may not sound like a big deal, but there are Christians, countless Christians tonight who are saved and on their way to heaven who feel like, listen to these words, like God is so far from me. I've heard it numerous times since I've been pastor, sitting in my office, someone will sit across or someone will call me on the phone and say, but preacher, I just feel like God is so distant from me. Now, who wants you to feel that way? Fact. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So the fact is He ever distant from us? No. So who is it that wants you to feel that way? Satan. The devil doesn't want you to feel like God's presence is with you. Because when the presence of God is real in your life and you're walking with Him and you're talking with Him and the joy of God is in your life and His presence is in your family and all these things, boy, truly it is a wonderful life to serve God and to know that He walks with me and He talks with me. And in all these things, it's a blessing to know God's presence is in your life. Amen. It's motivation to keep you out of trouble. The devil doesn't want you to think that way. And one of the ways that you know that God's presence is with you is by thanking Him. If you've taken the time today to praise the Lord for all the blessings that God has given to you today, and you stop and you look around and you realize this is from God, and this is from God, and this is from God. Let's sit in this auditorium just for a moment and look around. Look what God's given us. Beautiful auditorium, amen? It's a gift from God. We're sitting in nice cushioned pews, gift from God. Most of you have a few dollars in your money, in your pocketbook or in a bank. I know none of us are rich, but we're not starving, amen? Most of you ate today. Most of you have pretty good health because you're here. Most of you can breathe a good breath right now. Most of you can tie your own shoe right now. Most of you have family sitting here in the auditorium with you. All of you have church family sitting by you tonight. We're very blessed, amen? God's been good, amen? It's hard when you start looking at all the reasons why God is good to you. As you walk to your car tonight, count the ways that God is good. You're able to walk. That's a blessing. You've got legs that work. You've got a car that you're going to get in, and it runs. It's going to get you home. You have a home to go to. You're probably going to eat something for you to lay your head down tonight. You're going to lay your head on a pillow tonight. You're going to lay on a bed tonight. If you get too hot, you'll turn on a little air tonight. If it gets too cold, you'll turn on a little heat tonight. God's good to us. And when you start counting all these different things, it becomes very difficult for the devil to convince you God's not with you. Well, sure He is. Look around what all God's doing. He's not distant from me. He's right here. He did this for me and this for me and this for me. Yet countless Christians are sitting tonight in misery, afraid that God has left them. Or that God hates them or despises them or is distant from them. Start counting His blessings. You'll realize He's right there with you. His presence is real. Number 27, Psalm chapter 22, a few pages back. Psalm 22. And in verse number 3. Our 27th reason why we ought to praise the Lord. Psalm 22 and in verse number 3. Says this. But Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. You'll experience, again, I said you'll have an audience with God, but number 27, you'll experience God's presence like never before. And I don't have to preach on it because I pretty much preached this point just now, but God inhabits praise. You see that? He inhabits praise. That's where He's at. You see Him. As you start praising Him, you realize where He is and what He's doing in your life. And truly, you can't help but say God's good when you see these things. Number 28, give me a few practical points here. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy 4. I hope you participate in this, but we'll look at it real quick. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Verse number 4. We're going to jump around in our Bibles a little bit, but I'm coming down to an end point here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I give you reason number 28 why you ought to praise the Lord. Because it will cleanse your food. That's what the Bible says, right? Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified. It's set apart. It's cleansed, if you will, by the word of God and prayer. That's why, by the way, if you ever wondered why, before you eat, we stop and ask God to bless this food and thank you for what you provided for us. Folks, if you don't sit around before you eat and take the time to bow your head and thank God, spiritually speaking, you're eating dirty food. That's what the Bible says. You're eating dirty food. Number one, spiritually speaking, we want to thank God for it. Number two, just physically speaking, especially if you go out and eat, you go back into kitchens at some of these places that's cooking that food that you're eating. I've worked in these kitchens, all right? Some of you have worked in some restaurants, and I've heard you. I ain't never eaten there. I've been in there, right? You ever heard anybody say that? Yeah. Now, White Castle's different. Oh, man. It's just, you can see everything. It's clean, it's purified. God's all, He just blesses there. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, you know, it's good. No, everything the Bible says, everything needs to be received with thanksgiving. Before you sit and, now I hope you do this. And listen, look at me. Don't be ashamed to do this. Bow your head. So I'm just by myself. Then bow your head and thank God for the food He's giving you. Thank Him for it. You know, most of us are not like the Lord where we're needing to take, you know, our 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 people. But we do need to stop and praise God, because the only reason that food's sitting in front of you is because God's been good to you. And you need to thank Him. And you need to praise Him. And you need to receive it with thanksgiving. You know, don't do your little secret prayer like, you know, bless this food, amen. You kind of hide it, all right? Or you sit there and you stretch. Thank you, Spirit, amen. And you start eating, all right? You know it's a blessing when you're out somewhere and you see a family stop and they bow their head and pray. As another believer, don't just thrill your heart to see that. We need to be that same type of blessing to others. You need to thank God. You need to pause and just say, Lord, without You, I couldn't have this. And Lord, it's by Your strength and only by Your goodness. And I ask You, Lord, to bless this food, and I want to say thank You for it. By the way, you might stop and do that and think about what you're saying, because you're like me. I'm guilty. You've prayed for your food all your life. Sometimes that little prayer might be a little in vain. What do you think about it? You stop and realize, and I've talked about this before, you know, like with the piece of fish. God had to kill a fish for you. You eat a piece of meat, be it chicken or cow or whatever you're eating. God took a creature that He said was good, but He must think you're a little bit better. Because He slew that which He said was good so you could partake. Stop and say thank you. And praise His name. Number 29, the reason why we ought to praise the Lord. It will change our attitude. Look over in Colossians chapter number 3. Just a few pages over. Colossians chapter number 3. Verse number 15. Colossians 3, verse number 15. Colossians 3, verse number 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know what happened here in these verses? When we are thankful, the peace of God, look at verse 15, the peace of God begins to rule in your heart. And as the peace of God begins to rule in your heart, the Word of God dwells in you richly. And it can't help but show itself by God giving you a song. I encourage our church, don't quit singing. Keep singing to the Lord. The choir, we sang tonight at kind of a difficult song. And just sprang it on them tonight. You know, I paused and just reminded me and them that we're singing it for the Lord. Just praise Him. When you sing your congregational songs, open your mouth and just praise Him. Man, give Him thanks. You say, well, I can't sing that well. The Bible didn't give any qualifications to sing and praise Him. He just said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I know, some of you just said, mine's not joyful, all right? I've heard you say it, right? To the Lord, all His praises are joyful. It brings honor to Him. You say, well, I can't sing. It's because you're not thanking Him. I've never met a person that's praising the Lord that did not have a song in their heart. You just can't help it. You have to sing His praise. And it will change your attitude. Instead of walking around and no peace in your life, instead of walking around saying, well, I can't sing, and all the standard of the congregation is like, you ever met this person? I mean, when the singing's going on, love lifted me, and here they are. You know, they need to praise God. You praise the Lord, you'll be able to sing His praises. Your whole attitude will change. Turn back here to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles. I told you we're going to go back and forth. 2 Chronicles, number 30. Reason number 30 why we ought to praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles in chapter number 20. Second Chronicles chapter number 20 and in verse number 22. Second Chronicles 20 and verse number 22. And look at this verse. Second Chronicles 20, 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. You know what number 30 reason why we ought to praise the Lord? Because your enemies will be defeated. When they began to sing and to praise the Lord, God took care of the enemy. Did you know we as a church, we have enemies. Now we're not going out picking for fights, but the devil hates this church. He is our adversary, the Bible says. Do you know the adversary wants to destroy our church? You know, the adversary would like to take something very simple tonight and cause a division in our church. The thing that I was thankful for this afternoon, my wife and I, we praised the Lord. And the thing that I wrote down that I was thankful for today is a mature church. So thankful for our church and just the maturity of the people that God's given us. So we're all growing. None of us have arrived. Amen. If you think you have arrived, you're far from it. All right. Farther than you thought. All right. We all are growing in the Lord, but I thank the Lord for a mature church. People that are mature in the faith. But you know what? The devil would love to take something and rip this church apart tonight. Tonight. Matter of fact, he'll try. He'll use someone and something. I'm going to tell Mom's story. She told me today, right? We met a guy. My uncle took us out to lunch. And we're sitting there. And there's a guy there at the restaurant. I don't even remember his name. But in any case, he used to be, years ago, my grandfather first started the church there. They were running about 500, 600, all right, 500 or 600 people. And he was a deacon at the church. There was another deacon at the church who was also the Sunday school superintendent. The Sunday school superintendent at the time, he's still at the church, he was, because of his health, was going to step down from being the Sunday school superintendent. And so my grandfather, this is years ago, my grandfather took a poster board, folded it in half, and had all the Sunday school teachers sign it and say, thank you for being the Sunday school superintendent. This other guy got mad. Because he had been at the church the same amount of time that the other guy had been, and he had never gotten, in his word, a poster card. That was it. And he caused the stink. Left the church. Did all this stuff to discourage people. Left notes with people and tried to discourage them and stuff. You don't think the devil would like to do that here? And he'll use something as simple as a poster card. Someone didn't shake your hand tonight. They may not even had realized you were standing next to them. Yet the devil says, they don't like you. Everybody look at me. They don't like you. No one at this church likes you. Everybody hates you. You might as well just leave and go somewhere else. They don't appreciate you. We all know that happens because he's whispered that in our ears before. And you're sitting here saying, well, and you start listening to the devil. He'll destroy your life. Can I just, if anybody's thinking that way, can I tell you this? I'm the pastor of this church. And I don't have any issues with anyone in this auditorium. If you think I don't like you, you're wrong. I love you. I have no issues whatsoever. As the pastor, people talk to me in the church. There's not one person in this church that someone's come to me and said that they have a problem with somebody else. No one's told me that. So I don't feel like that they like me. Him that hath friends must do what? Why don't you sit around and talk to some people? Amen? Get around and talk. You'd be amazed. No one here bites. But the most might. But none of it else bite, all right? We just want to love the Lord and serve the Lord together. But listen, the enemy's there. You know how the enemy was driven away in this passage of Scripture? You know what Israel did to conquer their enemy? God is good. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. All of a sudden the enemy was defeated. That's the same God we serve. Praise Him. He'll defeat our enemies. Reason number 31. Hope you're not tired of using your Bible. Back to the other side. Revelation chapter number 7. Revelation chapter number 7. Reason 31 why we ought to praise the Lord. Revelation chapter number 7. And verse number 9. Revelation 7 and verse number 9. Says, "And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen! Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen!" Reason number 31 why we ought to praise the Lord is because we're just preparing ourselves for eternity. That's what we're going to do for all of eternity, is just praise God. So I just can't find anything to praise Him for. Well, you're going to. If you're saved, you're going to. All right. Well, for all of eternity, we're going to praise His name. For all of eternity, we're going to say thank you. Blessed be our Lord God. His blessings are upon us. The glory of the Lord for His wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, His power and might and all these things. And we're just going to praise Him for all of eternity. Amen. If you have a hard time praising the Lord, you got some catching up to do because we're about to do it for all of eternity. Reason number 32, why we ought to praise the Lord, because we will experience the abundant life. Look back at the book of John real quick, just a few pages back. The book of John, chapter number 10. John, chapter number 10 and in verse number 10. Reason number 32, because we will experience the abundant life. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's our enemy. That's what the devil wants to do to us, in our church, in your family. Look what the Lord said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Did you know God wants you to have an abundant life? You know what an abundant life is? You're content, satisfied, and praising God. That's what God wants all of us to have. Everybody look at me. That's what God's given all of us. And so I don't think so. Start praising Him. You will. Start looking around. You will. And the more you praise Him, the more you'll be able to live in that abundant life. Go back to the book of Psalms for a few of these. We'll wrap this up. Psalm 69. Reason number 33, why we ought to praise the Lord. Psalm chapter number 69. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God tonight? I know we use it a lot, but really, what else do we have? I'd much rather read these Scriptures and hear my opinion on things, all right? The Word of God is our authority. And so I want you to see these things. These are not just my psychological ideas on why we ought to praise the Lord. It's what the Scriptures say. In Psalm 69 and in verse number 30, it says, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving." You know why reason number 33, why we ought to praise the Lord? Because it magnifies God. You ever magnified something? What happens when you magnify something? It gets bigger. You understand what I'm talking about? My grandpa, he can't read his Bible. You know, his vision's too bad. And he's got sitting right there next to the desk, his chair, a magnifying glass this big. I ain't kidding. It's huge, right? And he holds it right there. And it brings the words and makes them huge, right? So we can see these things. When I went to, and we spent the last week on a, or 2 weeks ago on a history tour with a Beller, James Beller, the pastor out in Missouri, and the author, I love hearing that man preach. I hope you understand this. He was here with us before. He's practically blind. He can't see anything. He reads his Bible on his iPad so that he can make the letters huge. And if you're standing behind him, I mean, his letters are this big when he's reading his Bible, right? I mean, he just can't see. It magnifies. You know what happens when we praise the Lord? It makes Him big in our life. He's not just part of our life. He is our life. Because we're praising Him and it magnifies Him. When people look at us, they don't see, oh, look, there's brother so-and-so. You know, I think the Lord's in his life somewhere. Have you ever met that one person where you just come in contact with them and it's just, there's God? I mean, you start talking to this person, they begin to share their testimony or something, and boy, you can just tell by just looking at them in the eye and hearing their words, God is right there in that person's life. God is being magnified in their life. Why? Because they constantly are praising Him. That thanksgiving magnifies God. Reason number 34, Psalm chapter number 40, my favorite chapter in the Bible, Psalm chapter 40. Verse number 3. Psalm 40 and verse number 3. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Can I tell you reason number 34 why we ought to praise the Lord? Because people will get saved. You see, look at the verse again. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Why do we sing? What have we learned? Why do we sing? Because we're thanksgiving. It puts a song in our mouth. Even praise unto our God. And what happens with this song of praise? Many shall what? See it. They see it in our life. And all of a sudden that fear, in other words, that reverence to God becomes real in their life. And they will trust in the Lord. You know, one of the reasons why I think that our churches are not seeing people saved like they once were is because we've become so dissatisfied with God. We've got all our complaints and why God's not doing all these things. Instead of just praising Him and being content and just praising His name and lifting His name on high and just telling people, boy, God is good to me. We have all our problems. Normally, the typical Christian today, and I hope it's not us, but the typical Christian today, if you walk around and say, hey, how you doing, brother so-and-so? Well, this is bad, and this is bad, and I don't know if I'm going to make it. Financial world's going down. Gas is so expensive. Complaint, 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 complaint. There are lost people that are listening to all this. If all you have is a grumpy look on your face and nothing good and how miserable you are being one of God's children, what do you expect a lost world to do? But they come in contact, look at me, with someone who knows God is good. I look around me and I see that God has done this for me and this for me and this for me. And then all of a sudden it puts a smile on your face. All of a sudden you know God's presence is with you. All of a sudden you got a song in your heart. All of a sudden you're so in love with God and He's being magnified in your life and people see it. That's when they look at a Christian and say, you know what? There's something there that I don't have. I used to hear when I was a kid all the time, almost every preacher said, you know, the world's watching and they're going to see in you something that they're missing. You don't hear that preaching much anymore. Because the reality is this, a lot of Christians are just acting as miserable as a lost world. Some of you haven't even smiled at me tonight. You got a grumpy look on your face and missing all kinds of good points to amen God, and you're sitting there like this. We still got a business meeting to go through. And that's all that's going through your mind. I watched and I stood here as Brother Jordan led in the singing. Well, our church as a whole sings out so wonderful. And I'll look across and I'll see some are having a hard time singing. And one of two things is going on. The devil's really on their back and we need to pray for them and love them. Well, that person just isn't thanking God and praising Him and are missing out on the joy of being saved. When we start praising Him, people are going to be getting saved. Number 35, we'll close with this. I got another verse to show you. But in Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter number 30. Reason 35, we're closing with this. Reason 35, why we need to praise the Lord. Look at Jeremiah chapter 30 and in verse number 19. Jeremiah 30, verse number 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I, look what the Lord says about this people. Now let's review so we're all thinking together. This group of people that has filled with thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. And I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. So why are you preaching this to take the time to preach it to our church? Because according to this passage, the congregation that is praising God, their church will be happy, their church will be growing, and their enemies will be defeated. You know why we take the time to praise Him? Because we need to. We'll see our church begin to grow. In the business meeting, I'll share this with you. We've been praising God for the last 5 weeks. Amen? Been challenged to. Sunday school, we're up 25 from the previous month. Morning service, we're up 18 from the previous month. Evening service, we're up 22 from the previous month. Praise Him. Praise Him. God's good. And the more that we praise the Lord, according to His passage, our mouths will be filled with Mary. You know what that is? You'll have joy. Now look, I've got burdens too. We all have bad weeks. We all type the wrong thing, and no one in the church knows when the business meeting is. I know, we all do these things, okay? But regardless, isn't He wonderful?
Yes, He is.
Even when we make total mistakes, God is still good. Amen. And as we as a congregation are praising God and lifting up our voice and just honoring Him day by day by day, God says here, I'm going to multiply that people. I'm going to take that small group and make them large. I'm going to defeat their enemies. You think they've got reason to praise me now? You just wait. But I close with this. Look at this. Leviticus. I promise this is it. Leviticus chapter 22. It's not a point. I just want to give you a thought here. Not a reason why we ought to praise the Lord, but it's just a way of summary. Leviticus chapter 22. And in verse number 29. Leviticus 22, verse 29. It says, when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Now look at this. Offer it at your own will. God's not going to make you praise Him. I, as a pastor, am not making anybody praise Him. I gave you 35 reasons why we should. But I'm not going to make you. The Lord God's not going to force you to praise Him. But when you do it, the Lord said, you do it at your own will. Will you please make a choice? That every day, I'm going to look for Him. And I'm going to praise His name. If someone ever says, why do you do this? I got 35 reasons I can tell you right now why the Bible says I can do this. God will bless, and God is good, and we have reason to praise Him. Would you bow your heads?